The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Luke chapter 1, we continue our exposition of the book of Luke, and we now come to Zacharias' song. And let's read together. Stand if you're able to. Let's read together, beginning in verse 67 all the way to 79 this evening. If you're there, say amen. Let's read together, church, verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That is the word of the Lord for us this evening. May he bless it in our hearing this evening. You may be seated. This morning we saw when and how Zacharias gained back his voice. And tonight, we hear his song. And by the way, how many songs do we have now in the book of Luke? In just chapter 1, how many songs do we have now? Three songs. One, that of Elizabeth's. Second, that of Mary's. And here, thirdly, that of Zacharias's. In history, in church history, his song has been entitled the Benedictus, taken from the Latin, Blessed be the Lord. By the way, besides all three of them sing, besides that all three of them sing, what else is in common on all three of them? What else is in common on all three of them, which speaks about who governed and who guided their minds and mouth? They are all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't this remind you of what the Apostle Paul said about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, this is yet again another classic indication of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I say Zacharias is being filled with the Holy Ghost because of the words that he is saying in his song. What words were they? What words are they? They are words about God. They are words about Jesus Christ, which are already written in Scripture. Again, what the priest is doing here is a classic indication of a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled life. Colossians 3:16 reminds us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So tonight we hear His song. Don't ask me to sing it because I don't know the tune of it. In His song, we find three revealing characteristics of the faithfulness of God throughout the history of mankind, specifically to the nation of Israel and in general to the entire world. And let me show you something here, very, very interesting. Zacharias masterfully uses a device called a chiasmus. A chias what? Chiasmus. A chiasmus. C-H-I-A-S-M-U-S. A chiasmus or a chiasmus. Well, Pastor Christian, what in the world is that? Well, let me tell you. It is a literary device that points to the theme of his song. Okay? Now, I had prepared a picture for you to show, but my computer, for some reason today, did not work. So I don't have a picture for you. But here's what I want to do. If I could ask 11 of you to stand, if I could ask, the four of you, perhaps, Dennis, Georgia, George, and Mark, and then Junior, and Troy, and then all five of you right here, beginning with Chloe, Rissa, go ahead, stand, and Kylie, and Kelly, and then why don't you stand, babe, so we have here 11 people, which represents the 11 verses that we just read. Let's say, for example, that Dennis is verse number 68. You raise your hand, verse number 68. There you go. And then Chloe is verse 78. Okay, raise your hand. Verse 78. Now, for those of you that are sitting down, can you tell me what word that is found in verse 68 and verse 78? There is one theme between those two verses. So we're looking at verse 68 and verse 78. And they both talk about the theme of what? What's that? Salvation? Do you find that in both verses? It starts with letter V. Visit. Visit. Now you go to verse number 69. Mark, raise your hand. You're number 69. And then verse number 77. Rissa, you raise your hand right there. What word do you find in both verses? So we're moving from the outside of the chiasmus towards the end, and it points to the theme right in the middle that we see. In the most outward verses, 68 and 78, you have the word visit or visitation. Now we're moving into the middle. What do you find in verse number 79 or 69 and 77? What is that? Salvation. Now we move into verse number 70 and 76. What do you have? There is a word that is found in both verses. Prophet. Prophet. Now we move into 71 and what? 75. What do you see? There's one word again that is found in both verses. What's that? Well, and is found there, but there is a, what's that? Hand is found there. Okay, now we move into verse number what? Where am I now? 72 and 74. What do you see? All right? Let me go up here and look at my Bible. All right? 71 and 74. 72 and 74, we have to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. And verse number 74, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve without fear. Now, I think what you have here in 72 and 74 is 72 and 73 and 74, because 73 there is the middle, and we're going into the middle now to give the very theme of all the themes that are mentioned here in this chiasmus. We find the words promise and covenant as well as oath. Those three are synonymous one to the other. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. So this is the device, the literary device that Zacharias used to point to the three words that I just mentioned. What are they? Oath, covenant, and promise. And so if you were to ask the question, what then is the point of this song? Immediately, if you're looking at the chiasmus, it points to the what? The promise, the oath, and the covenant. What promise? What oath? What covenant? Now, there are at least three covenants that are mentioned here in this song. There is the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and the new covenant. Let's quickly look at that. Verses 68 to 71. Here is God's promise to David. Look at those verses, especially verse 69. And hath raised up an horn of salvation. Let me just mention this. That is a mention, an allusion to power. When you have the horn, that means you better watch out. You don't want to mess with the horn. Why? Because normally that would be end game of your life. The horn of salvation is end game here for it, for us in the house of His servant, who? So here we have the mention of the Davidic covenant. If you recall in your Old Testament studies, the Davidic covenant goes something like this. David, as God is promising, God is telling him, David, I will make sure that your dynasty continues forever. Isn't that what the Davidic covenant is? And so now Zacharias is mentioning this in his chiastic song, pointing to the covenants that God made with His people, Israel, and to the whole world, as we will find out later in the new covenant. The second covenant, can you guess from reading the scripture what the second covenant he's mentioning here? Look at verses 72 and following. To perform the what? To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Who is he talking about? Who are the fathers of Israel? Who are the fathers of Zacharias and the nation? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, of course, name was changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 tribes. All right? And so this is talking about the fathers. And let's read on. And to remember His holy covenant, Verse number 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. If you recall your Old Testament studies, what was the Abrahamic covenant? God again telling Abraham that I will give you land and dominion, and from you the seed royale will come, and this seed will become the blessing for all the world to enjoy. That is the Abrahamic covenant. And so here's Zechariah in his chiastic song pointing the three covenants of God, the promises of God, and that he is saying that this is now the beginning of the fulfillment of those covenants because of the birth of John the Baptist, who is the messenger for the Messiah, who is the blessing for all the world. Thirdly, and lastly this evening, we find the new covenant beginning in verse 76 through 79. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the what? By the remission of their sins. Through what? Through the tender mercy of our God. Now, how did God show his mercy? How did God show his tender mercy? Of course, we're looking forward now to what took place later on in the lives of John the Baptist, as well as especially in the life of Jesus Christ. How did God show his mercy? Well, God showed his mercy by giving you, the sinner, that which you do not deserve. And you as a sinner do not deserve salvation. And yet he gives salvation through the forgiveness of your sins on the basis of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul says it in this way, not by works of righteousness, but by his mercy you have been saved. All right, so this is the new covenant in this chiastic song that Zacharias beautifully put together, points to the covenants, at least three covenants that we find here: the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and now the new covenant for the salvation of the entire world. What do we find here? Applications for our use. Number one, what was the cause of Zacharias uttering this song? In other words, the Holy Spirit filled him with power. The Holy Spirit filled him with words. The Holy Spirit gave him recollection of what things he had learned from his studies from the Old Testament. Do you know where I'm going with this? He wouldn't have said those words had he not painstakingly studied and learned them. That is an exhortation for us today. To what? To study the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, and to meditate upon the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God brings it to his recollection. And so now he utters these beautiful words in a literary device that points to the three covenants that God made to Israel and to the world. Second application for our use this evening. Realize this, that when it comes to redeeming souls, whose job is that? Whose job is the salvation of souls? It is God. God is the one who makes sure that his promises is being fulfilled. They had been waiting for the word of God for 400 years, and now it has come according to the timing of the sovereign God. And so here we have this application for us tonight. Let me ask you a question, though. Since it is God's job to save, does it mean that we just frolic around the meadow and whatever will be, God is going to save people. I don't have to do anything. Is that the right attitude to have? Of course not. Why? Because we have the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is what? To share the good news to everybody that's breathing. To all creature. We need to look at this Great Commission then as, wow, what a great privilege. It is God's job to save people, and yet He allows me the privilege to co-labor with Him. That is why we go out on our outreach program, to knock on doors and find those opportunities to share the good news with others. We're called ambassadors. What a great privilege is that. What a great privilege that is. Thirdly and lastly, application for our use. I want you to notice how Zechariah, in his chiastic song, fully trusted God's promises. What do I mean by that? He read the Word of God in the Old Testament. Well, that was their Bible back then, during that time. And it's recalled in his mind. And as he's thinking of the past 9 months, his experience has been extraordinary to bring about all these things that have happened. The birth of his son from his barren wife. It was impossible for them to bear a child. And now they're being told that this child is going to be the messenger. This child is going to be the Elijah that Malachi prophesies. And then the visit of Mary, their cousin. She stayed with them for 3 months, telling them the story, telling them her experience of meeting the angelic being who also told her of the events that were about to take place. And as Zechariah thought on these things, I mean, what many things can you think of 9 months of silence? And as he's thinking here, now that his throat is loosened and his tongue is loosened, he exulted the bursting of the praises unto God. And we're given here this beautiful chiastic song that points to the three covenants that God made him. He put his trust in the promises of God. And tonight I exhort you, brethren, that in the same way we ought to place our trust in the trustworthy promises of God for our future and for our eternity.